All right, so let's move on to more interesting things like the Israel report. Today we're speaking to Gil Hoffman, who is an American-Israeli journalist, and we're going to be speaking about things that are making news in Israel right now. Gil, shalom. Thanks for being with me on Chai FM again.
Pleasure being with you, Simon.
So, Gil, I actually want to start off. I've got a whole list of issues I want to chat to you about, but I happen to have opened the Times of Israel just a moment ago, and 7 minutes ago they are reporting the following, and I'm going to read you the headline. The High Court freezes the implementation of the contentious law banning arrests of Haredi draft dodgers. This was the law passed by the Knesset last night. I'd love you to weigh in on that. I'd also like you to weigh in on the fact that when I was watching it live last night, I see that Benjamin Netanyahu happened to have left the Knesset in time just before the vote. And I'm wondering, what is that? Plausible deniability? What's going on? Please address the issue for me.
Well, Simon, I'm from the United States, where the famous quote from President Truman, who was the first president who recognized Israel when it was created, he said the buck stops here, meaning that he's in charge and he takes responsibility. Netanyahu has learned over time that that's not so smart politically. You know, he voted for withdrawing from Gaza multiple times, and then he pretended that he didn't, including in a video interview with me, even though I was in Gaza when we evacuated, and I was in the Knesset when he voted for it. So here, yeah, plausible deniability. You can later say that he didn't really believe in it, that he did things that were made sense for his party at the time, but his beliefs are different, and maybe that will be persuasive to some people. Or you can even say, leading to your question here, Simon, that he knew the High Court would freeze the implementation of the contentious law banning arrests of Haredi draft dodgers.
Interesting approach.
They
you're
all knew
taking.
That would happen. The ultra orthodox were, you know, trying to pretend they did something when they knew all along it wouldn't work. But the High Court responded a lot faster than they normally do.
You know, last week we had this semi-constitutional crisis with the appointment of somebody to the Broadcasting Authority, where the Knesset said that they would not obey a ruling of the High Court. I mean, that was chicken feed compared to what's coming down the road on this one. Is this a full-on constitutional crisis that's going to come straight down the train line and run us all over? How does this play itself out?
This one? I mean, I don't know how often they were arresting ultra-Orthodox draft dodgers anyway. One thing you won't see is that it seemed, according to the law, that the draft dodgers that are currently in prison would have to be released immediately, and that's not happening. So we'll see. I mean, certainly the ultra-Orthodox will want to see the law implemented. They weren't the ones who were protesting against the court. There's going to be a lot of questioning the checks and balances between our executive, legislative, and judicial.
Yeah,
over here.
I think you're in for a rocky ride.
It'll be fun, except if you're stuck in traffic.
Well, that's looking at the lighter side of things. Thank you for that. I'm going to stay on sort of Bagatz-related issues, the High Court-related issues, because something else that I think will probably make it to the High Court was something I happened to read yesterday about the city of Bnei Brak, or it might not have been the city of Bnei Brak. I'm not sure which authority exactly, but they're talking about segregating the sexes on the streets of Bnei Brak. Mm-hmm. Is that for real? Have we really reached that point?
Yes. The ultra-Orthodox in their own communities do what makes sense for them, and deep into ultra-Orthodox communities, non-ultra-Orthodox people generally don't go there. I mean, we don't need to go there. We can... What do they have that we need to go there for if we're not ultra-Orthodox? And they've got their way of life. You know, for decades there have been signs saying don't go into ultra-Orthodox neighborhoods not fully clothed, you know, modest, not dressed modestly. and people tend to respect that. I'm sure there are places in South Africa that people act differently than they would in other places because of the population
Yeah,
at your
South Africa
state.
is different. We've got a constitution that guarantees equality, and you would never get away with something like that in a public area. You just wouldn't. And that seems to me the problem. The nub of it here is that you guys didn't settle on a constitution. What is it to be a Jewish entity?
We indeed do not have a constitution, and there's no firm definition of
That's
what
the
it means to be a
problem.
Jewish state and a democratic state at the
That's
same
the
time,
problem.
and there's constant tension. Yes.
And this is what's playing out. Let's move on to much easier things, which is politics. Again, an article, I think, in the Jerusalem Post this time. Interesting, this. I just didn't expect to see this. Trump telling Netanyahu, they don't want you there. That's a quote. Telling Netanyahu to pull IDF troops from Syria and Lebanon. I'm not sure this is the best time to be making statements like that when the war in Iran is heating up. But what's your take on that comment?
Okay. Let's separate Lebanon from Syria right now. Lebanon, there is an agreement that has been reached between Israel and the government of Lebanon, and part of that agreement involves Israel withdrawing from specific areas. They went back and forth about where and about the timing for it. An agreement has been reached, and it will be happening soon. Syria, no way. Syria, we're not withdrawing from anywhere near there anytime soon. There are no official talks between Israel and the government of Syria, and that's not happening, even if the President of the United States wants to see it happen. And sometimes he says things to make his friend Erdogan happy, and we don't cooperate with that. No.
It's interesting that he appears to have given al-Sharaa a whole makeover. He seems to have painted him in the sort of colors he wants to see him in rather than seeing him for what he was historically.
It's wishful thinking.
Wishful
The
thinking.
president's been known to do that.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
He has his own world.
Fair enough. Okay, I want to talk to you about an issue again, very recent. Germany apparently opposing an EU trade embargo on West Bank settlements and just freezes the latest attack against Israel, at least in that regard. Interesting to me because I would have thought there would have been significant internal pressure for the German government to have agreed with that. And I thought they could have done the mental gymnastics by saying, oh, it's not against Israel proper, it's against the West Bank. Interesting, don't you think, that Germany took this approach?
It is interesting that Germany, among the countries in Western Europe, has consistently been the country that has taken into account its past and has not rushed to take decisions that are obviously discriminatory against the Jewish state. And we have to be very appreciative of that because it could be a lot worse. And it's been true no matter who's been in power in Germany. So
And it's costing him.
if Germany, whether it costs them politically, in Germany, you have got this wave of protests against the massive Muslim immigration, just like you have in almost every country in Europe. And so I believe there's some understanding, and that's only growing. And you're going to see that come into play in elections coming up in Sweden, among other places. We're the good guys here.
A question that I've asked more than once over the past couple of days, but with the tension increasing in Iran and between Iran and America, with Trump making all sorts of bellicose threats of what he will and won't do over the next 24 hours, how's this translating to how you guys are feeling in Israel?
The bomb shelters are still locked. We're not going to them yet. I don't have a chair by the door that I take downstairs to the bomb
Interesting.
shelter.
Interesting.
We're sleeping full nights here. I mean, and there are a couple reasons for that. Number one is that Iran tends to strike us after we strike them, and we in Israel are not striking them. When America strikes them, they retaliate against American allies in the Gulf. Now, the other reason why this is happening is because attacking us requires long-range missile capabilities that have been significantly decreased by the four American and Israeli attacks on Iran. whereas the short-range missiles they have still have plenty of. And that's why when people have said, oh, America and Israel didn't win the war against Iran, they're basing it on incorrect numbers because they're counting missiles that don't count for us, that don't reach us.
Gil, I'm out of time, but thank you so much for chatting to me on Chai FM. I really love the fact that you're on board with us as one of our Israel correspondents and helping us out now and again. Really a pleasure chatting to you.